said that she was educated, or they were educated to please God. This is she asked like several questions under one banner or one paragraph, but one of the sentences was that this is how they grew up, in a sense that there is a God. Not that there is a God, this is what we open, yes, but to please God. So such a sentence, to please God, what such a sentence assumes? That there is, first of all, God is an entity outside of the child, of the young adult, and there is a distance, yes, between the child and God, or the juvenile and God. And the distance between the two has to be what? Compensated or being deleted by the sense of pleasing. Yes, this is a question that Yannis asked in writing. Yannis, good evening. We are very happy to see you here. Cindy, good morning. We're so happy to see you here. Yes, so Yannis was asking, we were educated or we grew on this premise that there is a God, that we should, what? Please God. So some kind or this saying or this sentence or this belief, what does this sentence assume? So there is a God as an entity outside there. And there is a child or believer or a juvenile or a citizen. And there is a distance between them. Yes? And the distance or the gap between them will be filled with pleasing. From which side? From the lesser side, which is not God, which is the child. Yes? So you see how many presumptions are just appearing in one sentence. Yes, this is even a part of a sentence that Yannis was posting this morning. There are many, many more assumptions in this paragraph, but first to open and to see what is behind this saying. God is an entity. Of course, God is not an entity. You could look at the Statue of Liberty and say, this is God and this is entity, and I should, this is what the sentence presumes, that we should what? Please the entity which is outside there, because there is a distance between the Statue of Liberty, yes, and Singapore, the Statue of Liberty, and China, the Statue of Liberty, and Algeria, the Statue, it doesn't matter. Of course, this is a fall, it falls. When you open this sentence, or you open this belief, or this, let's say, chant that they grow children upon, if you open it, there is nothing in it, because there is no God outside. God is not entity. There is no distance. Of course, there aren't two, because it's non-two. So there is no God and there is no child. There is no God and there is no citizen or subject. There is no distance between the two and there is no pleasing. All this is a false premise. So whenever you want to, and this is what the Course of Miracles does also. If you have the chance to look at it, it's a thick book. It just opens all the sentences that are running inside the system, because each human being is a system. Each one appeared, let's say, there is appearance of a body in space and time. And each one in the system, in the culture, grew upon all kinds of beliefs or sayings of others around. First hand from the family, like, and then close family, and then schools, yes, and universities, and just check what is going around. So such a sentence to presume that there is a God, it is an entity, and you should please him, because otherwise he will be angry. Yes? Don't make angry the teacher or the kinder. What does it stores inside? You have to please them. Why? This is the condition. Because they'll get angry. So it's constantly pleasing. What does this pleasing implies? little submit yourself. Just open those sentences. It's good that Yanis is posting, and I, in a way, encourage more and more posting and questioning. Nobody will judge you on what is being text there, because there is nobody. Yes, there's no one there, so nobody will judge you or do anything. Yes, Gladys, you can unmute and speak or raise your hand. What kind of a thought do you have?
Hi there. Yeah, so I just think it's interesting that it just struck me as quite interesting just now, because where we're talking about, say, for instance, there's no distance, and we need to close this distance, and there's no the outside thing. But
yes.
In terms of the, I read about the idea with the breaking of the vessel,
mm-hmm.
the idea of the destruction of something that was disordered in order that creation could happen. And then the result is that you have bits that can be ordered, I suppose, in the Kabbalistic idea. It'd be the breaking of the vessels, you know, in. And I thought it's interesting that, on the one hand, to say there's no distance, but then like in the, you read things like the Heart Sutra, and it talks about the form is empty, the same empty as the form, and this is a similar thing, that it's destruction as an act that is a necessary prerequisite for creation. I don't know what, if that makes sense, but it's quite a funny paradox, isn't it, to say, well, there's nothing, there's not the distance, but then in a way there is.
There is no distance.
In a way, of it being present as a delusion, if you know what I mean. Or kind of, if we're to say that something has to be destroyed, so, or there has to be space, there has to be emptiness so that there can be form. I just think that it's like an interesting paradox, you know?
Let's go into this step by step. Yes, thank you, Gladys. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. What does it mean, first of all, you can move from this question of Gladys to the poem Tree of Life. What does it mean? How life even happened? First, there is also, so to speak, the limitation, the infinite limits itself, like withdraw in. Yes, and once that there's withdrawing in, there is a new space that the light does not enter. So there is a space and time. But this is a very, very interesting idea. I just don't want to go into this now. I would like to go and inquire Yana's question, because from this direction of the question, it's easier. Because it's the same idea from a different direction, but it is easier. So there isn't any distance, yes, between the child or between Yanis and the source. There isn't any distance between Jill and the source, because they're not two. Yes, there isn't any. There isn't any distance, therefore there's no one or nothing to please. And we don't need to make any action to get closer. Yes, the idea of space and time is an illusion that is manufactured in the process. Do we understand? And even if we don't understand it, this is also okay. There is no distance. Whatsoever, there is no distance. So, people, you know, we are here speaking from different parts of the world, different kinds of, not just parts, different time zones, different weather or climate zones. And each one speaks just one sentence about what is happening. You can see it's completely different. It is a deep winter in Brazil. It's not raining yet, but it is quite cold. Yes, in London it's rainy, but it's a summer day. There's like cover of clouds, it's rainy, there's a sense of closure from the gray, from the rain, it's like a mattery pot, hot pot. I don't know how it is, Atlanta, beautiful day, Cindy. How it is for you? Yes, here there's a roaming heat wave that just roams forever, since. Yes, still though, heat wave. Yes, it's roaming. So they are different to the eye, to the senses. Yes, to those animals, nature, and humans who can sense weather or light. There is a sense of different what? Different what? Indications. Yes? Here it's hot, very, very hot, humid and hot, humid and wet, different kinds of appearances, which implies, so to speak, that there is a distance, because you can measure the distance with kilometers, yes, between Brazil and Israel or Atlanta, London, Singapore, Dallas, Texas, and London, and it will show that there is a distance, but this is only an illusion. Yes, because there is no distance. There isn't. When someone takes a flight from London to New York, why usually people take flights? This is an open question. Regardless of the aim, why usually people take flights from continent to continent, from country to country? Why? You can unmute and speak, raise your hand. Why usually people take flights? Long distance to get there, yes, quicker, yes, Jill and Cindy, but long distance for what? To get where or there? Long distance for what? The idea? Get into the airplane? What happens in the airport? Who stands in line? Yes, you can type a letter to a friend. Travelers. What are travelers? What are they? Passports? Yes, with a pair of shoes. How travelers look, what do they have embodied in them? They have a body. Yes? Yes, the body, which is what? A product of space and time, needs to shorten the distance so people will take an airplane or a flight. Yes? The body needs those shortcuts. We come back to the same Yanis question. There is there, outside, a God, which is entity, which is a statue. Yes? And there's a constant need to please a distant foreign element. But there isn't. No one need to please anyone. Is this clear? Faith is like a vehicle. If you believe, that this bus or this circle of literature will do you good, so you will join this circle or this conversation. It's just a vehicle. This is it. It's just what is faith? What is faith? It's emptiness. You can open it. What is faith? What is belief? Open it. People say words, yes? But what, you can unmute and speak. I shall be happy to hear your voices. What is faith? Is it something? Is, yes, Jill.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
So faith, what I was taught was if you, it means that you have a belief that God can, you know, help you, that if you didn't have faith, then it wasn't going to happen. I mean, I'm learning it differently now, but I'm also fighting against these beliefs that I've grown up with. Mm-hmm. And it's been a challenge because some of, like, you know, some of the questions that Giannis is asking are huge and things that, you know, I'm trying to work through every day now. But yeah, faith was like something that you had to, you know, have in order to, I guess, get to a different place in your life.
Yeah, that's great. Something that you need to have. Yes, something that you need to have. It's like an instrument. It's like a bridge. Yes, but what? Okay, it's something, and the verb that is connected to it is something that you need to have or acquire or obtain, or, you know, add the right verb in your heart. But what is faith? What is it? What is it? What is it? Someone has a faith that he will find the right, yes, yes, Jill.
It's like your belief, like what it is that is in your mind that would be true about maybe the way that you are thinking. It would have to me, it would have to have been a belief, like no fear, you just disbelieve that.
So if 1,000 people have belief, now it doesn't matter in what, they have belief that this, let's say, young man will find a friend for life, or this one has belief that her course in the university will bring her to be a very good doctor or position, and she follows the steps. So for each one, or each one of the 1,000 that you will ask, they have a belief. But if you will inquire or ask, what is this belief? For one is to find a girl or a friend for life. For another one, this belief, she believes she'll be a very good doctor. Another one believes that he's going to be a great painter. Yes, and he's just going to find the right school. And so on. And if you will interview 1,000 people, each one will probably will give you a different answer about their belief, about something which is not seems far at the moment of asking. So what is belief if for 1,000 people it's different? It's just emptiness. Emptiness and transparent, which is filled, yes, filled, like filled, F-I-L-L-E-D, yes, in the one who has, so to speak, the belief. It is just emptiness that it is filled. The one who wishes to find a friend for life, for him, this is emptiness that all, let's say, his hope is just moving in this empty channel. Yes, it's just empty channel, if I could say that. And it's this emptiness is being filled and being colored by the one you question what the belief is about. So it's basically emptiness and being filled and colored and portrayed by the questioner. So it's basically emptiness. It's not something. It's nothing. It is nothing. Now, into this well of nothing or the bridge of nothing, all hopes. So this one believes that he will find a friend for life. So he always, the wish of his heart says that this friend is one that he could talk to, he could share conversation with. He'd like to walk next to the shore and speak. You know, it is filled with many, many pictures, with many, many colors. And this one that believes that she's going to be a very good researcher, that she will find a cure for cancer, whatever. She believes that this university, that this team of doctors, professors, this kind of hospital university, because they usually come together, it will promote her, bring her to a better place, to be a better doctor. And this one who wishes to be a very good painter or artist, he believes that if he will be accepted, yes, to this kind of school, he'll be a better painter. So it is emptiness, which being colored, yes, by the coloration that the questioner just put on it, because it's not yet being what? Realized. So it's emptiness.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Cindy. How do you do?
Oh, very good. It's a beautiful day here. Sunny and pretty hot, kind of a heat wave here. But I was thinking about this question, and I do love Giannis's questions as well. But I think a good question is also to say what motivates me. What do I want from whatever it is that I think I need to have? And so, like Jill, you were saying, I need to have this faith to be saved. Or
you presume so many illusions one after the other. You presume,
right?
Already five illusions, and you are being deluded, and then it's life is heavy. So you just you know, yeah, you just presented five illusions, one after the other, and you will continue to add more, and then life is heavy, and I cannot carry life. Mm-hmm. But you live already, yeah, in five illusions, and we stopped you at five. You just well, you know, daydreaming and sharing, it's good. I mean, you know, do you have a free will? No. Did you choose to be born? Did you choose to be born in certain date, in certain time, to a certain family, on a certain continent, in a certain culture, in a certain upbringing? Did you? Did someone ask you?
Me, I know of.
Okay. Yeah. So let's go back. Yes, and the conditions that brought, let's say, the deliverance parents to be the deliverance parents, or through which a child will come, they were asked to be born in a certain space and a certain time, to be meeting at certain space to deliver a child or two or whatever. Nope, you see, and the conditions that someone is received by the many, 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 many years of human being on planet Earth. Has anyone been asked about what conditions are coming through him? Preference for what kind of a weather? Dislikes, sensitivities to certain kinds of wheat, of milk? Where do you bring this download? What I want, what I want to get, like you, even you are in charge of what? Of what? Let's question.
Well, as far as what I was saying, I was just saying to question. It's a good thing to question that some of these belief systems, I wasn't necessarily saying that this is it or we have this. I think it's good to question is what I'm saying, like what motivates you to have whatever it is. But
can you have anything?
Well, you can attempt to, and I think that's the place to
can
look.
You have,
what is it that you want
you
to have?
Can you have anything? Can anyone have anything? How nothing can have anything. So when you already use the verb has or have, you imply that there's something there. There's an agency, a control center. And there isn't. There isn't. There isn't. People amuse themselves, and all 8 billion people amuse themselves with the sense that there is like a great agency inside. Yes, that is a control center that tells you what to do, what you want from the world, like the world is there. Yes, this is another presumption, yes. It's like Yanis' question, but in a different way. Yanis at least was questioning. But this presumption says that there is a world there and someone is here trying to get something from the world. And there's a two, and it doesn't matter if there's a motivation or not, or what kind of length of a hand do you have, you will get it or you will have it. Those assumptions are falling one after the other. Because none of this assumption is true. So you just, yes. No. No one can do anything. If you disconnect, if for a moment there is a disconnection of airflow to someone, how he can do anything? Disconnect the air. There was like Corona, COVID-19. Disconnect the air from someone. Can he do anything? No. So where do you get those ideas? Like that you are in charge, that you can have something, that the world is there? You're going to get something from the world is not there. You are the world. You are the world. There is no world outside of you and there's nothing to get because you are the world. You cannot have the world or something from the world because you are the world.
Hi, E.T. Hi, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening. How do you do?
It's very hot here. There's a heat wave. E.T., leading to all this, I mean, is there such a thing as a personal relationship with Hashem, with God?
There is no person. There is no person, first
I mean, like,
of all.
No, I understand there is no person, but faith is not only a belief, but faith is total trust, right? That whatever is said and spoken in the word, in the Torah, it's truth. And there is someone behind that truth, right?
Not someone.
There is
no entity.
Yes,
there is.
The source in the behind the truth. So when we have faith, we are basically trusting the source,
which is ungraspable, which is to trust ungraspable.
But, yes, but he has given us his word, right?
Yes.
In the Bible.
You don't need the Bible, Yanis, you don't need the Bible to have this confirmation. You don't need even the Bible. You don't need it.
It's his truth, right? His word is truth. Yeah. Yes. So there must be something that, because I can't, you know, that's where it is, something that solidifies. So my faith, my trust is in what he says.
Trust is open. There is something you always look for, solid ground. It takes to trust on, like a helping wheels. Yes. But look at this. Look at this, what is happening now. 8 billion people are moving. Yes. Animated, breathing, moving, walking, sleeping, part of them in the other part of the world. Yes. They are being animated. Drawing, drinking, moving by the source. And no one can see or grasp the source. And everyone or part of them is looking for evidence or proof or solid proof. And everybody believes that he is a control center of his life, that he has a free will, that he is parliament. Yes, everyone believes that he is his own parliament and he makes decisions, and life is streaming according to his or own his or her decisions. None of this is true.
But that is for a person who just trusts himself, not a person who trusts in what the word says. So, like, for example, the other day you mentioned about Psalms 23, where you said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still water." So it's the sources that is, we're, those are the words that brings a lot of peace, a lot of trust, a lot of quietness, because I'm placed in quiet waters. I mean, isn't that, that trust, isn't it faith?
Yes. In Hebrew, it's emun and emunah.
Emunah, right.
Yes.
So how, so that's why, but in the teaching of non-two, how does it get, how is this connected?
There's only the source.
Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. And I shall not want. I mean, goodness and mercy will follow
Lord,
me.
Lord is not your shepherd. Yeah. It's not a Lord. Yes, it's not a prime minister.
Yeah,
and you're not
the
subject. It's being. The being is shepherd. Yes.
Yeah, the being is a shepherd, and the being is within me.
Because there is no movement there also. Be still. It's not a process in time. The thought or the language. When people speak now, there's a speaking, it's a process in time. And then people come to this conclusion that if speech comes from them, they are the generators of the speech, which they are not. None of us, yes, is the generator of any speech. We aren't capable even of thinking.
When you have a verse that says, be still and know that I am God. You know, just be still and know that I am God.
I mean, the being is God, not your brain.
The being is God. So
Being is the source.
My imuna is in what he says and what he tells me. No? My imuna is resting on what he says.
On a higher source or power than your agency, the brain, is tell you what life is about. Trust a higher power. Trust the infinite than finite self. Finite self is the brain. Sits in you, narrates your life, tells you that your name is Yannis, and so on. Yes?
But I'm not trusting the finite self. My faith is in the source, in what he said.
Yes. It's infinite, and it's infinite. So you trust the infinite.
So the non-two.
Yes. Non-two. Because Yannis, yes, or any name that participates here, is a production of space and time. Yes.
We still need faith. We still need faith.
You don't need your heart, your breathing system needs your faith.
I need faith to believe. I need the faith to believe.
This is already complicated. You see, this is already complication. This is made up. Yeah. You wake up in the morning, or even if someone sleeps, so there's like breathing going on, the heart is pulsating, someone's wake up, he walks to drink, or he goes to the shower. It's just life is happening. Those actions are happening. You don't believe to go to the, excuse me, you don't have to have a belief to go to the toilet. You just go. When there's a need rising, you just go. You don't tell yourself, I have a belief. No, it just go. If you open to inquire every second, you will be astonished.
I understand. I don't need the belief to go to the toilet because that is part of life.
Water. You approach the water. There's a thirst coming, and there is no private person. It doesn't matter if it's the name now. There is a thirst, whether it's in a cat or a human. The human or the cat, they will approach water. You don't need to believe for it. You just go for the water. And it's not from free choice.
Yeah,
which free choice do you have here? Which free choice happens when there's a thirst? Explain me.
No, but what if I have a challenge that I'm finding difficulty in facing? Then what do then? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's where his word that brings comfort, right? It's where I put my trust in him when he tells me when the source says, you know, you rejoice, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength, you know. That's where your faith is. If not, where do you draw that strength from?
It is there. You don't need to draw. It's not of a making. It's not of a mechanistic.
I mean, draw in the sense that you don't actually, it's not an action, but it's something that you're rooted in. You know, you get rooted in, you know, that's that comfort, that, you know, that knowing that, you know, the source is there.
But you notice, Yannis,
the being is there. You know, everything is going to be.
But you notice this, don't you? But you notice there's a breathing going on. The heart is pulsating. Nobody asks for your consent. Nobody needs your belief. So living goes much, much beyond your brain and understanding and your consent. Do you understand that? And even if not, this is how it is. It doesn't matter. You don't even need to understand it. This is how it is. Jill, would you like to read if you can? Thank you, Yanis, for the question. Thank you. But just open it. Open it. It's good. It's good that you rise and bring those questions. But when you open them, you see. Jill, can you read the Gladys text, please?
Sure. My propositions serve as elucidations in the following way. Anyone who understands me eventually recognizes them as nonsensical when he has used them as steps to climb beyond them. He must, so to speak, throw away the ladder after he has climbed up it. He must transcend these propositions, and then he will see the world aright. Wittgenstein, at the end of his Tractatus, take on presumptions, but I would say that also faith can be these steps for some people.
Yes, yes, yes. Faith is something that you don't even think of. Yes, it just naturally happens. It starts with the daily things, daily actions, and it you can really scale it up to bigger, let's say, distances, if you want to look at it. We are not needed. Life is going far, far, far and beyond, much far beyond our heads or our thoughts or our concerns, understanding. Life, they don't need us. We are just like, there's names here. The name is attached to a body that the script could run. Life do not need us. The oxygen supply to, let's say, 8 billion people is not dependent on our concern, consent, trust, or belief. There's just air supply for all. Start with this. The sun rises without us. Yes, the sun is not even rising. It's just there all the time. When a planet just turns and there's appearance of a light, this is sun rise. Yes, for the earth dweller, not for the sun. Question everything, and you will be free. You are free.
Life doesn't need us, but we need life.
We are life. We are life. And it doesn't matter what we think. There's live streaming. This human being gets oxygen supply and there's life bubbling and we don't have a clue. No one has a clue. Human builds building models for climate, for weather, to come beforehand, to prepare. And guess what? There's always earthquake that will surprise people. There's always a war that surprises people. We had a professor in university. He used to always, his topic was to research in war. When intelligence is falling and there's a break of a war, and it doesn't matter from which side, from which country, how can it be that every time it's occurring and occurring, let's say Pearl Harbor, any field that you check, it's always the same. People find themselves surprised by a war, by an earthquake, by a volcano, and people develop model and they can measure and they put all kinds. And there's always surprise because we know nothing. Everything is just, you know, okay, so you said it's 36 degrees, go. There's also a concept of Celsius or of Fahrenheit. Those are just concepts. As if the concept can conceive everything. Of course not. Those are just models suggesting a picture that people, let's say, might consider or considering to be truth, and this is how people speak to each other. Yes, but none of this is truth. It's not. So many models, and still there are so many surprises. Weinreb writes in the Book of Esther, because his field was like statistics, this is how he arrived to the Bible, because from statistics, from mathematics, and then he saw something happens completely different than we tell ourselves as a story in the Bible or storytelling. He noticed a mathematic model in the language. He says that as a statistic, because what the state does do or what the municipality do, they always sit with statistics, and each state or municipality, they sit with the programs. Let's say how many people are living in the city, let's say 3 million. So there is a percentage of them, yes, that they will die in car accident. Percentage of the 3 million, yes, will die in car accident. There is a percentage of them that will get hospitalized, yes. There is a certain percentage of water pipes breaks. There is a percentage or in fires. And statistics gives you a map of numbers. What is the probability or the chance of fires in 1 year, of water pipes breaking, of car accidents and casual, there are numbers. It says everything very, very accurately. But one thing statistics cannot tell you: who is the one that will be injured? Who is the one that will be caught in a fire? And so on. To this level, not. But when you build a model, and this is how we started looking at the Bible, because he also was, like, he was jailed by the Netherlands, or the Holland, how do you say that? Yes. He was accused of cooperating with the Nazis against the Holland and so. So he was 3 years isolated, only with a pencil and a pen, and he could not see any human or talk to any human, and he was with some isolated. So he saw the picture of the Bible coming to him, but as a mathematic model, not as we think it is, a love story between Jacob and Rachel and whatsoever, or names of places and so on. People also, we have this as humans, this is the great mistake, to think that there is a language, yes, and the language can tell everything, can hold everything, sustain everything. But it's not. And we're just appearing here for a while, under a banner of a name, of an address, and then disappearing. But the true nature, which is finite, is always here. Just a dressing is just being put and then removed. The body is a dressing, yes, The body is a fine addressing to infinite, yes? So there's a baby comes as a fine addressing, space and time to infinite. This baby will grow, will move here under a name, and da 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 da. And when time is over, the dressing will be removed. Infinite will stay free, which is always free, yes? And the lie will be here at the ground, be buried. There's a beautiful sentence that I found at Divine Rebbe, first chapter. He speaks about the patriarch, but not, of course, as persons or so. And he mentions Isaac. There is a number that is mentioned by Isaac, age, when he's been wed to Rebecca. It's about 40. The number is mentioned is 40. So Weinreb writes something very, very interesting about the number 40. He says the number 40 is not chronological. It's not about the years of the calendar. It's a number that says, in a way, submission and passivity. Submission and passivity. So what does it mean? Now leave Isaac and Rebecca and all of this. What does it mean? What is the number? 40 is basically 4. 4 is 2 times 2, or 2 in the square of 2. This is a metric of space and time. So, and this is the lens. Yes? So either, this is what they say known too. Either you look at life through space and time, which is there's a me, there's a name, I have heritage, I was born in, and you buy this bullshit. Yes, you can think about yourself whatever you like, but you just swallow the pill of what? Of passivity. Or you can say there is no space and time, and you look from the lens of the source. Yes? And everything else is falling. So either you look from the lens of the matrix, space and time. I'm the producer. It doesn't matter if I'm the producer or I'm the loser. It's the perspective that I'm the actor in this life, and I have a free will, and I do what I want, and I take, and what is motivation, all kinds of bullshit that people color their face with. Or you don't even look from this window, you know, 2 on 2, like in Holland they have, like, they divided, it's not a window, they divided by a cross, like 4. So either you look from space and time, from this jail, finite, whether it's golden cage or gray cage, it doesn't matter, or you look from the source. And this is still, be still. So when you not move, but when you just drop it, the space and time, the bullshit, the story, the lies, all, you just see that from this perspective, nothing moves and nothing changes. This is only being. And there's no addictions, and there's no lie, and there's no process, and nobody has to become someone, producer, teacher, director, to get anything. Because all of those speech bubbles that people exchange with each other mean nothing, they're nothing, just lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. Just see it from the source. Any questions? Yanis, Jill, Felipe, Gladys, Cindy.
I don't have a question, but I have something to share.
Yes.
So the night before last, I just woke up in the middle of the night, and for some strange reason, then I got this feeling that, yeah, none of this is true. Like, I was literally just so clear that, like, this is not true. This isn't real. So I don't know why I woke up thinking that. I've just been trying really hard to, focus in on what I'm learning in these conversations. And so the next day, I just went to the store, just a random store, and was leaving the store. And on the way out, then I had every intention of getting this book. But A Course in Miracles was laying there on the shelf. And it was just laying right there. And it was a whopping 34 cents. And so I got the book that I wanted, that I needed. I just felt like it was just a really interesting, strange day for me. So I just had to share that.
Thank you. And good luck with that. So it's next to you now?
Yes, it is.
Good. 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 Because it breaks the what we tend to think about our lives. It's a great thing. I mean, it's a great book. It's not a thing, but if you have it and you can browse few sentences every day, whenever, is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here with us. Gladys, Felipe, Jill, Yanis, and friends.
Thank you, Eti. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Toda and shalom. See you on Saturday. All the best.